Well, composting, Holly, it is a process that you never can make enough of. However, there are things that you should and should not be composting, even on a small scale, on your back, in your backyard, patio, or porch. You can do that. There even is some indoor composting mechanisms, devices, but we're not going to get into that. We're going to cover more of the aspect of here's what you can and here's what you shouldn't compost.
Right. So we should talk about, I think, because there's a wide variety of items that you can compost, and we should talk about what you can't compost first, because, you know, it's important to know, I guess, what you can't more than what you can.
Right.
And, you know, there is a science to composting with browns and greens and nitrogen and the other one, carbon. And we have covered that before. You can certainly ask us about that.
A good ratio is just basically half greens and half browns.
Right.
There is a more detailed formula if you want to follow it. But basically, if you can do 50-50, you're going to have compost. And side note, composting can be done in a hot composting method or a cold composting method. Hot composting is when you have the proper ratio of brown, which is the dry goods, and the greens, which is the wet items, and mixing them together, creating aerobic bacteria and heat in order to break down the food scraps or the paper into compost or soil. The cold compost is you just throw it all in a pile and come back in about 3 or 4 years time frame, and or a year plus, and it's going to be broke down, but it's still going to be, there's still going to be active seeds in it. The hot composting allows the heat to deactivate, lack of a word, to deactivate the seed germination capabilities if done correctly. So what do we not want to put in our compost? Well, the first one can be yes and no. Bones and meat. The reason why it is highly advised not to do such is for the purpose of it will attract animals. If you are in a rural area and your compost pile is in the back, way in the back, and you've got a mixture of chicken manure and scraps and whatever else, yeah, you can throw it in there. You're going to have rodents. You're going to have scavenging animals go in there and dig around, which can be a benefit because it helps stir the pile up to get the bones and the meat that you got piled. But if you're doing that in an urban setting, you probably already got those animals in the neighborhood, and you don't want to have them have a party in your backyard. And also, the way you compost, based on the municipality, you do have to find out, can it be an open pile or does it need to be enclosed in some way?
Right. And then there's also, if you are doing a certain type of composting where maybe you are doing that fast composting with, I think it's got like a powder, something like that, you can do that with bones and meat because it's going to
break down quicker.
And again, like Joy said, you know, it depends on where you're doing this, because you are risking animals and things like that. So you can, you know, it's,
and in some instances, not just mice and rats and possums and raccoons. In some parts of the country, it could be black bear and grizzly coming in because they smell that in a pile. Now, most people can tolerate or deal with raccoons, mice, rats, but grizzlies are a whole nother story. And black bears, not really the neighbor you want to have in your backyard at any given time. So be aware of that aspect of animals coming into your yard. Another thing you don't want to go ahead.
That's just it, is that you want to be aware of that. Another one is...
Black bears and grizzly bears are pretty in pictures and on TV.
I don't think... Yeah, that's
right.
So charcoal ash is one, and I was kind of confused by that, and Joey, I explain why that is one.
Because of the mechanisms or the chemicals that are in it can affect the soil composition. So you want to be aware of that. If it's wood ash, that's different. This is charcoal or coal ash, isn't it? Yeah, that's what. But wood ash has, you know, good properties in a safe manner or amount.
Right. And then The next one is dog or cat waste slash litter. So, like, for example, our cat, we use these walnut shell litter.
Uh-huh.
And you would think that's compostable. But it's not, because their waste could be hazardous.
It has bacteria in it.
Yeah, that's
and
what it is.
It's a bacteria that is not safe and can be make a human very sick. So you don't want to do that. And that's why people are very cautious when they see neighborhood cats using their raised beds or their gardens as litter boxes because of that contamination factor. So that is also a thing you want to be aware of. Synthetic fertilizers.
Yeah, so this is just one of those things, because you don't know what's in that fertilizer necessarily. You don't know how it's going to react once you put it in your compost.
Now, are we talking about the glyphosate or just any synthetic fertilizer?
So that would be – so I'm gonna, the glyphosate is next.
Okay.
So this is like any synthetic fertilizer, just to stay away.
I know, but we can buy synthetic fertilizers to apply to our tomatoes and our eggplants and our pumpkins.
Right. So
if you're not of an organic, if you're organic, then you don't have to be concerned with it. If you're just fertilizer, there is some aspects of concern here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you just want to keep that in mind. Don't add anything that has that synthetic fertilizer directly applied to it that maybe it hasn't had a chance to
break down in more of a element form. It's not like you're pouring cups of synthetic fertilizer in the pile and mixing it together to try to add nutrients to your soil. Because nutrients and the compost is already nutrient rich. Now we're going to get to the glyphosate or the herbicides.
Yeah. So say you are like, you know, everything in my garden is, I didn't add any synthetics, but then your lawn is getting sprayed.
Weed and feed.
Yeah. With whether by you, whether you pay a company, what have you, and you're getting sprayed with the weed and feed or whatever it is, some sort of persistent herbicide. Then you put those grass clippings into your compost. Then the compost becomes, it absorbs that persistent herbicide. You could put it on your garden and you could kill your vegetables.
And we've talked to people whom this has happened to.
And it was like years of aging it.
Yeah, it takes a lot of mitigation in order to revert back to a safe soil levels in which that dissipates in the soil. So be careful of what you're putting in the compost. If you're weed and feeding, that's fine. That's your deal. Don't use those grass clippings and incorporate them as mulch or in the garden or as compost, turning it into compost, because it will be detrimental to your garden.
Yeah.
Now, things that we can add, well, we're just going to touch on a few of them here to our break, things we can add to the compost that is safe. Dog or cat or fish pellets, that's safe. This is before, this is, is this food or is this, this would be a food because I guess fish don't have bedding material.
Right. So, yeah, let's talk about some more maybe common.
Well, that's common ones for a lot of people. Feathers. Yeah, horse manure, goat manure.
So a lot of the times when people think about compost, they think about what's in their kitchen. Because I had this discussion with one of my friends who eats a lot of vegetables, and he feels bad because he can't compost. And he was like, could I compost anything that comes out of my kitchen? And it's like, yes and no. So you want to, fruit and vegetable scraps, eggshells, coffee grounds, coffee filters, and then tea bags. You should try to remove the staple if they have a little staple in them, the tea bags.
Right.
But if they're like the non-staple-y kind, then that's fine. Loose leaf tea, like if you make loose leaf tea, any sort of food scrap basically works. Paper products, things like that. I know people might not think about throwing, you know, if they have a paper towel.
Right.
Maybe they want to put that in their compost. Obviously, depending on how you used it, what you used it on, you want to be mindful of that.
Some items from the bathroom.
Yeah, you can use a lot of things from the bathroom. Oh, and the one thing I did want to mention, if you have paper towel rolls, if you want to, you know, put, if you're not going to use them for something else, you want to, make sure you put those in there too as well.
So use face tissue, hair from your hairbrush, trimmings from your razor can go in there. Toilet paper rolls can go in there. This is from the bathroom. Old loofah, natural sponges, nail clippings, cotton balls that has not been used with like a chemical, like rubbing alcohol. You wouldn't want to do that. If it's just a wiping something off, that would be fine. Urine can be put in there. Now, obviously, that's up to your discretion on that. And dryer lint, cotton from the laundry room, dryer lint, pencil shavings from the office, old clothing, old wool clothing could be thrown in there, not the synthetic stuff. So there's a lot of things in which you can add to your compost pile and a few things that you shouldn't. We've just touched on a very minute amount here, but it gives you a starting point. Walton's Incorporated, Holly, has everything you need except for the meat.
Yeah, absolutely. So Walton's, you know, that we're brought to you today by Walton's. They care about where your food comes from. Canning, preserving your fruits and vegetables is great. But what about the meat? We are reaching wild animal harvest peak season here in Wisconsin. You can get everything you want to make sausage, jerky, any other meat product your way to your high standard. Do you like those good snack sticks or that delicious beef jerky? They can help you if you go to meatjuststicks.com. That's an informational site to help you make the best finished product. They have everything from meat grinders, mixers, sausage stuffers, spices. Go from animal to edible with ease. Walton's, everything but the meat. You can use code GROW50 to save 10% off your orders of $50 or more, and that's at waltonsinc.com. For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.